Alrighty. Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Favor Ojika podcast. My name is Favor Ojika, and I'm super excited to have you guys back here with me. Today I have a very interesting guest. I'm very excited because she's here with me, and we are going to be talking about something quite interesting. So please do not go anywhere. Grab a coffee, grab a snack, and come on back, because we'll have all these things to talk about when we return. All right? Okay.
Oh, do you want me to say something again?
No, it's okay. All right, we are back. Welcome back, guys. So like I said, I have somebody very interesting, and today we are going to be talking about overcoming life's challenges as a young adult. This person is my new friend, my co-worker, funny enough, and she's going to be here sharing all her wonderful experiences. You guys welcome Gabriella Osuna Sen. I think that's the first time I'm saying your full government name, Ella. So
you got it right on the first try. That's so rare. Wait. I think because we both have last names that have
very unique. Yep.
You kind of get the pronunciation.
Yes, please. And it's very, very, very unique. So yeah, welcome the beautiful, the insurmountable, the brave, the resourceful. Ella, thank you so much for joining me on the Favor Ojika podcast. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
That's good.
To see what this process is like.
Come on now. You know, I don't just invite any kind of people on my podcast. I invite special people, right? Good people. People that have a lot, you know, in terms of stories that others can relate to. So, you know, I hope this is going to be quite interesting and insightful for the rest of the people listening to us, as much as it's going to be fun for us on this podcast. All right. I'm starting something with my segments just to make it more fun for you guys. And it's going to start off with a tongue twister. And let's just see how fast you could say this, Ella. I don't know what I'm going to give you as a prize, but we could try. So I have one that says, fresh fench fried fly fitters.
I'm sorry.
I wish people could actually see your face right now. Fresh fench fried fly fitters.
Fresh fench french fry fitters.
I don't know. You, if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you want to also attempt it too. Okay. Do you want me to give you something else? If you can. Okay. So another easy, to me it's easy, no. All right, let's see. 77 benevolent elephants. 77 benevolent. Say that three times in a row. Come on now.
Okay. 77 benevolent elephants. 77 benevolent elephants. 77 benevolent elephants.
Come on. That was actually very, 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 very good. All right, before we go further, let me just, you know, pause and, you know, do like a pulse check. For those people that are actually curious to know, who is Ella? What does she do? Who is she? Just tell us about yourself.
Ooh, do you mean like on a personal level? Or
personal,
like
work level, anything that you want to feel like we should know. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I am a product specialist at Best Buy, and I work with Favor. And we have a good dynamic going. Like mm-hmm. it's kind of this cool symbiotic relationship that we have at work, where we just find projects for each other, share resources
yep.
with each other,
yep.
help each other to improve not only in work but also just like in life, mm-hmm. and check in with each other.
I got you, girl.
It's just it's been a good ride.
Mm-hmm.
And on a personal level, let's see, I mean, I just like the idea of living my life on my own terms.
Yes.
So because people are like, oh, what is your life's purpose? What is your life's meaning? And mm-hmm. I just think like, oh, I just want to be happy and free and independent mm-hmm. and, but also help people.
Yeah.
Not be so cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting way to put it. And, you know, it's not every time that people really think that deep about their lives, you know, especially for young people. We are young. We just want to I don't want to use the word mess around, but most people don't think about life, you know, in that way. You know, they're just going. They don't even know where it's going, but they're going, you know? So it's kind of very interesting that, you know, you think about a well-rounded life for yourself, you know, you just want to be independent, free, happy, which is good. And introspectively working towards making that your reality, which is good. But what about hobbies? What does Ella like to do? I know some, but they don't know, so tell them.
Yeah, I love playing guitar. I love, you know, doing DIY projects.
Come
like,
on
I
now.
Picking up junk on Facebook Marketplace, and like redoing it, reupholstering it, you know. Love to cook. Oh my gosh, I go through phases where I like buy a ton of sushi making things and do like Thai recipes.
Yeah.
And if someone knows me, they know like for Christmas, I always want a new appliance, like an air fryer or something like that. Roller skating. I don't know. I just things that make me feel, you know, joy and free. Like my exercise, my creativity.
I got
that's
you.
Where I'm happiest.
And you are one of the most resourceful people that I know, and yes, it's a compliment, but I actually mean it. And most of the times when we talk, I always say this too, like, you know, I don't just say things, it's actually the truth, because that's who you are. Very resourceful, very creative in your own way. There's that giving nature, which I truly appreciate, you know. So in case you guys were wondering, that's who Ella is. So thank you so much for sharing, I appreciate you. And if they should ask you, Ella, what's your story or what you want people to kind of know about Ella? Like if you think Ella, this is her story in a way, what would that be?
I think I would just want to be remembered as being, you know, someone who has like a very strong sense of self. Like, oh, that's like a very strong personality. That's a very strong, like, I know exactly who you're talking about when you talk about this person. And it like evokes, I want to evoke a lot of emotions, you know, from people, the people I love.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I don't really care about being revered by like, strangers or just like the public or whatever. It's mostly just like by the people I love. I want fond memories to be associated with me. Yeah, I think it's more like, and I also want to be known for giving to other people too. Like I want to benefit other people's lives more than they feed into mine.
I got you. And again, you're already doing some of it. I will tell you that for sure. Just enjoying your life. I think what is very unique that is standing out for me right now that I'm hearing is a strong sense of self, which is very... it's very interesting. That's I think that's the word I'm looking at, because I'm just like, yeah, even when we are still trying to figure it out, some people use that as an umbrella to not know. But you having that introspective to say, you know what, I want, when they say certain things, they should know that that's Ella they are talking about, and they should know me as somebody that is very aware of who I am. I think that's very good. All right, so who's influencing you nowadays? It could be a who, it could be a what. Just tell me. Tell me. I don't know what I'm saying. That's how I sounded in my head when I said that out loud. I was like, what?
Sound like the most like ass-kissing thing I've ever said. But like, Favor, you inspire me. Like, you inspire me. Because you're so giving. Like, I see all the things that you do for your family, all the sacrifices you make, all of the things that you're involved in, not just at work, but like in your personal life.
Yeah.
And the way you like want people to feel included and heard and lifted up and want to connect with people, and your spirituality is inspiring to me as well. And like, and you just have this aura of complete positivity and
everywhere.
And so, yeah, that's something that I admire from you for sure. And so, yeah, you definitely.
Gabriella,
little pieces from other people in your life.
Yeah,
like, you know, I take little pieces from everybody.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's a cool part of my, you know, that doesn't naturally occur to me as a person. Like, it's not my personality, but I appreciate it in somebody else.
Yeah.
I can see the light that it brings.
Yeah. Wow, I actually was not expecting that. Like, it was like that came out from the left field. I was expecting you to call one rock artist's name or, you know, somebody on LinkedIn that you follow. But no, I truly, truly appreciate you saying that out loud because, you know, and you also know how I feel. And obviously, I've said this to you several times even before, you know, without this. So you know exactly how I feel about you and things that I take from you. But I truly appreciate you appreciating at least somebody that you know, you not just work with. Like, we've come over time to, like, appreciate each other and share our resources and share what we are passionate about, you know. And it's not really easy nowadays to just look at somebody. Even my friends, we, like, get shy sometimes when, you know, I'm digressing. It's not until recently, over the years, where I have been bold enough to say, oh, I actually appreciate this about this person, or I appreciate this about you. So this in itself is kind of inspiring because, you know, you are not shy to say that, you know, again, strong sense of self, right? Coming into that person that would not be shy enough to say what they're feeling in the moment, what they're feeling, how they're feeling about the person that they're interacting with, and just saying what inspires them about those people and what they appreciate. So thank you so much for seeing me in that way. That actually truly means a lot to me. And, you know, I love you. I've said this several times. I really do. So, yeah. Now I'm just going to go and pat myself on the back. I'm like, Ella likes me. I don't care about what anybody else says. Please, bye.
You know what? People don't hear that enough.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Say that at, like, birthdays, yep, and funerals. And yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're thinking it, if you think you're like, oh, that was really cool that they did this for me, or like, you know, I really admire this about them, and you're just thinking in your head, just like say it. You need to hear that.
Yes. Just say it. You know, that was funny because prior to changing this to the Favorogica podcast, it actually started as Just Say It because I felt like there was a communication issue. That people needed to, especially amongst friends and family, like, you had a bunch of things to say and you're saying it to a bunch of people aside the person that needed to hear it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So this day and age, I think a lot of, you know, the dialogue is internal.
Like, yes,
like, build it up and build it up, and then, you know, it's a very, like, conflict averse society.
Yeah.
Also, even when there is conflict, it, like, kind of blows up into this big thing when it's really just, like, if you consistently communicate in a very respectful way.
Yes, yes. You didn't have to go that far. Yep, yep. Well, I appreciate you saying that. So part of the reason why I wanted to bring you up, and again, like we talked about, like, you're just sharing. So this is a safe space, a community where I want people to be able to take something from all the discussions that I'm going to be having on this podcast with the people I'm having it with, right? So when they're sharing their personal stories, no matter how casual, little, big, it doesn't really matter. I want it to be a safe space where people can be like, oh, if she did that, I could do it too, you know? And she's a regular smuggler person like myself, so why not, you know? I could draw strength in that, you know? And so, you know, I wanted to ask about resilience, or if you've had any, like, vulnerable moment in your life. And it's very particular to me because we use the word young adults a little bit very lightly. And yeah. I don't know what you consider young adults, but I'll tell you, young adults from 18 and above, or 18 to, like, maybe... Please, for those of you that are, like, 40 plus listening to this, don't take it personal. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, young adults could be anyone, you know, it depends on how you're feeling your soul. But, like, age-wise, anywhere from 18 to, I guess, 40, right? Or 30s. But we all go through different struggles, especially in our early 20s, mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, where life is literally happening to us. And I don't think there's any manual for how to navigate it, because it's like, oops, you are here, you're an adult, figure it out, for those that are conscious enough, right? While the other people, that their opinions and the way they live their life is shaped by society and the different agents of socialization around their family, friends, school, you know, religious activities and all that stuff. My point with that segue is we all go through things, knowingly or unknowingly, things that might be considered big things, things that might be considered small things, but still big things. And so my idea with inviting you, you know, apart from the fact that you are awesome in your own way, is to also share any vulnerable moment that you've had so far. Like, you just started your career, right, in product. And so if there are any challenges, it could be personal, it could be career-wise, that you think somebody could maybe draw strength from or not. Have you had any of those moments where you had to show resilience?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll start by saying, like, it's even, like, trite that I'd even complain because I came from, like, a very privileged background, and my family, you know, we didn't have, like, a whole lot, you know, we had a middle class background and, like, had a good support system and that kind of thing. So that's worth noting, where, like, my struggles are definitely not as big as some.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I did have struggles with growing up was as a young adult, I'll say, is in college specifically, because I got in this process of, like, I'm going to go to a college that people respect. That was the reason why I went to college. I was like, I want to be respected by people.
I got you.
And I picked a college that wasn't the best for me. I picked a college that I was like, I know people are going to be like, oh, that's a good school, right? And I only applied to schools that were, like, respected or whatever. And
what school did you go to, if you don't mind me asking?
So, yeah, I went to U of M, and so I was applying to, like, you know, Marquette and, like, Lawrence and, you know, not, like, Ivy League stuff or anything like that. But I avoided going to, like, community college or, like, going to, you know, Metro State or Century or whatever, because I thought, like, people are going to think I'm not smart.
They're
going to think that I couldn't get into those schools.
Was that your reason for applying to college, like, the respecting? Sorry, I'm trying to backtrack just a little bit. So, because I feel like it had to have come from somewhere for you to say, you know what, I want to go to a school just because I want people to respect me. I want to go to college because I want people to respect me. Were there times in your life where you didn't feel like that, or why?
Yeah, I think it was because as a kid, again, like, I didn't have a strong sense of self. And so I was very, like, oh, whatever, people pleaser mentality. Like, whatever you want, I'll do it. You know, I want to be seen as, like, a good girl. You know? And so, like, I'm going to do the college thing that people want me to do. I'm going to dress the way that people want me to. I want to talk the way that people want me to, and, you know, behave myself the way that people expect me to. And the problem with that is it was so taxing. Like, I, you know, like, on the outside, it was like, oh, she's good. And then internally, I was like, I don't feel good. Like, I don't feel like myself. I kind of feel like my life doesn't belong to me anymore. And so, yeah, I went to college, and because I didn't plan, I didn't think about, like, what do I want to do? What are my strengths? What, like, outside of society, outside of what people tell me,
where's
outside
Ella?
Of advice, you know, I didn't know. And so I ended up switching majors seven times.
Sister girl, I didn't know that.
So it was, like,
political
science. And then it was criminology, and then it was biology, and then biochemistry, and then, you know, computer science, and what was the other one? Lord, education. I had everything under the sun. And business. Oh my god, I forgot about that. But yeah,
seven times. Well, it's the number of perfection. So I'm glad you ended up in computer science at the end of the day. But yeah, keep going.
But it was ridiculous because I realized that it was like, while I was chasing what everyone wanted me to be and wanted me to do, I was like, this is only working as a detriment to me. Like, this is my money that I'm throwing away. not planning and not prioritizing what I want.
Yep.
This is like, you know, I'm wearing these clothes so I get compliments from strangers, but I feel bad
in them. Yep.
You know, and so it's like, great, you know, these strangers don't have an impact on my mental health or my life outside of this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I know. So now it took a long time, and it still takes a long time, because sometimes I pick up on like, oh, they liked me better this way, they liked me better that way. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to get dragged back into that when you want to be perceived as good, you want people to like you.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be like, well, maybe what I am isn't going to be what people like.
Want, yeah.
So, yeah. And so that was a big thing. And then, you know, I finally got a degree. I transferred to Metro State later because I realized I was like, I'm racking up these like crazy bills.
Yep.
By, you know, switching my major so many times. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the school that I don't even like because it's so, you know,
big.
It's so big. Mm-hmm. You don't get like that one-on-one attention from professors and all that. Mm-hmm. It's very like, it's a system, you know? And then, so I went to a place, you know, Metro State's pretty small. So you get like mentoring and there's tutoring centers and there's communities where people really collaborate with each other. And it's not as individualistic as the U is. Mm-hmm. It's very like community centric. Mm-hmm. And I'm a one-on-one person. Yep. Like I'm not a big group person. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh my goodness, why didn't I analyze this about myself before? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I like one-on-one stuff. I like small scale stuff. I like figuring out what I'm going to do before I do it. Yep. Otherwise I knee jerk react to all these things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it took a long time to break out of that and I'm still trying, but at least now I've gotten to a place where I feel comfortable even like using my own voice. I used to not even use my own voice. It was ridiculous. I talked so high pitched and so like hesitantly.
Oh, Lord.
And sometimes I fall back into that and I hate it, but it's like, no, your voice is like this.
It's perfect.
And that's what it is. Yep. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And so, yeah, live for yourself, not for other people, mm-hmm. but also, you know, be mindful of other people
That's amazing. And I'm actually proud of the lady that's actually, you know, sitting in front of me. And I don't say that lightly because as much as I can't relate to that all the way, I can imagine what that felt like, you know, feeling like your life is literally not your own. It's almost like a performance, you know, you're performing for other people and the people you're performing for don't care. I feel like that's the sad part. Yeah, they don't care or they don't even see the effort that is being put into being that way or being a certain way. And I feel like it also stems from that whole thing of being accepted, right? And being, you know, fully loved and fully, you know, having that community or having that place where you feel safe mentally, you know? And I don't want to say, obviously it's not the same thing, but like moving from a different place, like from a different country, to this part of the world, like when you have immigrants or people that it's not like they don't know their identity, they know who they are, right? But they're in like a very completely new space. So it's like that knee-jerk reaction to fit in slightly makes them lose their identity. Does that make sense? So is quite interesting, and I really appreciate you being vulnerable enough to just share your experience in that way. Like it looks very little, but I'm very sure that there are some people that are identifying in some way, shape, or form, either in their work, either in their families, where they feel like they have that people-pleasing tendencies, right? And I'm hoping that, you know, hopefully by the end of this podcast, they will have an idea on how to like cope with that or adapt in such a way that they will shine more, right? Mm-hmm. It will be nice for them to hear it from somebody that has also been through that. So that actually segues me into my next question. Like, do you feel, how has that changed over the years? Like, did you do any practical things? Did you have a talking to? What influenced the decision to be like, you know what, I want to leave for Ella and nobody else?
And it's kind of embarrassing to admit that it wasn't even me doing it. It was like, you think it would have been like, okay, I'm unhappy. How do I change this? But it was literally like external factors that forced me into it. It was like, if I keep down this path, I'm not going to be able to pay this debt back. You know, like it was like monetary things that were like getting in the way. And then I was spending absurd amounts of money on clothes because like, I was like, I want to feel good and I want to feel fresh and I want to feel like, you know, I like the compliments that I get and the attention that I get and all this stuff. And then because I was wearing clothes that didn't feel right on my body, like I was wearing clothes that I knew that, you know, men liked, I knew that I'd get attention from them. And, but I was like, this doesn't feel like me. And that's why I kept buying clothes. And I wasn't aware why I kept buying clothes, like on a daily basis. I was buying clothes. On a daily basis. And yeah, and it was absurd. Like I think about how much money I was like, girl,
this is crazy.
Puddle into like savings. Pay off your debt. Like, And so yeah, and that was insane. And all of a sudden, you know, you take a look at your life and you're like, this is not sustainable. Like this is gonna run you into the ground. And the people that you're doing this for, you know, my family is not the one putting me in this box. They're not like, oh, do these things or we're going to stop loving you. It's literally just like strangers who couldn't care less if you like lived or died. It's like, I think it's like RuPaul who's like, if they don't pay your bills, pay them no mind.
Oh, and wow. Like, I love it.
I love that.
I love it. The drag, right?
RuPaul. Yeah. It's like, why do you care if someone's like staring at you on the bus? For honestly. The way you look? Why do you
Are you likely not see them again? That's it.
You're not going to see them again. Why do you care if like someone's going to think you're a bad dancer? No one, or ask a stupid question at work, you know, where other people know the answer. Well, you know, people who shame people for asking questions, even if they know the answer, it's like, you should foster an environment where that's encouraged, because now that person knows something they didn't, and that's benefiting the team, not the detriment to the team, you know? And so it's like, it's also about, like, through that, it was such a blessing, because it's like I lost a lot of things because of that, but I and people and approval and all that stuff, like I lost all this shit.
No, it's okay. Then, it's okay.
But I like the people who did stick around. I knew that they were real.
Yes,
like, that's the difference.
Yes,
like these people liked me whether I had money or not. These people liked me whether I was considered attractive to them or not. Like that, you know, and that stuff. It's just
freeing.
You know, all that stuff goes away.
It's so freeing. It's so freeing.
It's great.
Wow, I'm very happy for you, man, because I know it's not easy. It's not easy to come to that, you know, realization quickly. And it's also good to have supportive systems around you, like your family being number one, and then good friends that stick around to make it, you know, to help support and encourage you. And then it also helps too if you have supportive people at work too, because I feel like those are like the foundations of our well-being. Like, when I say that, I mean in terms of just mentally, you know, those areas of your life, your family, your friends, your work, they help keep you sustainable. They help keep you thriving, right? Like if your work is not good, you are going to lose your mental health. Maybe not lose, but you're going to deteriorate. Your mental health will deteriorate at some point because you spend 8 hours of your day with your coworkers every single day. And if it's not a good feeling, you will be depressed, is what it is, right? And then your family is your bedrock. They are the ones that gave you life, you know? And then it's also good to have like a community, friends that will be there to support you through thick and thin. So I'm really sorry that you had to go down in order for you to start slowly coming up in your own way. But could you also agree that like it's needed? It's like a springboard. Like you have to like hit a certain, you know, you basically have to hit it hard before you can also, you know, jump up and start making it. Would you agree? Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, I'm glad it happened. Because if I hadn't hit that point, I'd probably still be doing it.
I got you.
And And that's the thing. It's like a void that you can't fill, you know, like you're ignoring it and it's going to fester and get bigger. And once you realize it, you realize what other people are doing it too. Mm-hmm. Like you're not alone in it. You see other people and you're like, oh, they're buying a big house mm-hmm. because they want to be seen as successful.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Not because they genuinely want it. And you can see like all of that stuff, you know, is very clear all of a sudden.
Yes.
Like, it's like there's a sense of acceptance and like genuine companionship, yep. which is very
amazing. Nice to see too. Yeah. And again, with all that being said, it's quite interesting that you at least even recognized that this was a problem, because I feel like there's some people that it's almost like they're digging their own holes, and no offense, because sometimes they might not have the right guidance, or, you know, part of being an adult, they might not have the right support system, or they might yep. not purpose in their heart like, oh, this is not working for me, like this is actually not good, I don't feel good, you know, that realization has not really kicked in. And so they're just living in their life of, for lack of a better word, sadness, because they don't know better and they don't want the situation to change, or they don't even know where to even start from for it to change, you know? So in that situation, the good thing is for you, at least you recognized it and you decided to start the inward work and the mental work of, you know what, who is Ella in the midst of all of this, right? And then with time, you know, you started recognizing like the factors that forced you to actually think that this was a problem. And then you started doing the work to, like, you know, help yourself mentally, physically, and otherwise. I'm guessing that's the gist. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, like, I recognize that it's like a luxury to be yourself too. Like, I know that some people who don't have a support system and don't have, like, maybe for a job, they need to look a certain way or yes. like act a certain way. And like, if you don't have a support system, obviously, sometimes you got to, like, play the part
yes.
in order to survive and
yes.
get by.
Yes.
And so, like, I recognize that, like, not everyone can do it. And
yep.
that is, like, that's sad to me.
Yes.
Because everyone deserves it,
yep.
but not everyone gets it.
Yep. So. I used to have the mindset of, I don't even know if I could say this, but, like, I love, I know many people know this, but, like, I love the idea of exploring myself every single day. I love the freedom that comes with being the 50,000 different shades of me, right? I love leaving my house without makeup. I love leaving my house with makeup. I love wearing pants. I love wearing skirts. I love leaving the house with wigs. Yes, I'm saying it out loud. I love leaving my house without wigs, right? Like, I just love being me, because like you said, it's a luxury. It's very freeing, and it didn't come overnight, if I'm being honest with you as well. Like, you know, in high school there were times where I don't know if it was being slightly bullied, or, you know, having that mindset of you not being good enough, and then, you know, having to be tough and, you know, just facing it with this exterior shell of just being yourself, because that was your coping mechanism. But then over time, actually saying, you know what, I don't care what these people think, like, not because I don't care, but because I'm honestly not doing anything wrong. I'm just living my life, and, you know, my story is beautiful too, my life is beautiful too. But the only way I could, you know, be free is to, first of all, treat myself right, and then that way show other people how to treat me, you know?
Yeah.
So respect yourself, carry yourself in a certain way, you know, and then everybody else will adjust. Or at least that's the philosophy I'm living by now, you know? And it's the most freeing thing anybody can do for themselves. And I know it's not an easy place to come to, but it's just when people say these things everywhere about loving yourself, we're not saying you have to go to the spa like 50 times a week, or you have to, you know, drink all the waters in the world. No, that's literally not what it means. Yes, those things are nice, right? It's called pampering, which is okay. But it comes with that inward work of really understanding yourself and who you want to be, and adoring yourself enough to give yourself that grace to be that person, you know? So it's very interesting, and I really like it. So one last thing I also wanted to ask you, if you are talking to somebody that was where you used to be, right?
Yeah.
And let's just say for some reason, they are the most privileged people on earth, because privilege to you is different from what I would consider privilege to or luxury, right? But let's just say they are the most privileged people. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about the external factors that forced you to think about your life in a different way. But they still don't feel good. They've not come to that realization that things are not really working the way they would want it to work. How do they build resilience that way? How do they see, what practical steps do you think they could take to at least start that journey mentally? And I know it's impossible to give anybody a one yardstick, but just for the sake of this conversation, do you have any practical steps you would advise somebody that's in that situation to do?
I'd say, pay attention to your mind and your gut. Pay attention to those things, because, people will say, well, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I am. I don't know, what's good for me or what's, whatever. Your intuition and your energy will just tell you.
Yeah.
Like, if you put on, a dress or something,
mm-hmm.
and your first thought is, people are going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
Or your first thought is like, I'm uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it's okay.
Yes.
Or like, this doesn't, I'm constantly looking at myself in the mirror to make sure it looks good.
Yeah.
If that's your first thought, that's a sign, like, you're not meant to
wear it. Yeah. You don't feel good in it. Yeah.
Right. And if you put on something and you think like, oh, this is comfortable and it feels like me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. And you're not so super self-conscious about every little thing. And that's a very materialistic way of looking at it. But it's like, that applies to so many things.
Practical.
Like if you're in a career and you kind of have like that tingling, anxious feeling of like, I don't connect with this mm-hmm, stuff and mm-hmm. this doesn't really align with my strengths. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like it's a constant uphill battle.
Yep.
That's a sign that that's something that doesn't go with your strengths at all. If there's something in, you do some work and you're like, wow, like I feel like I want to do more of this and I'm interested in it and I find myself researching it even when I'm not working or like wondering about it. That's a really great sign that you should do that or something adjacent to it, or like pay attention to what you like about it and then find another job that aligns with that.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's basically like pay attention to like what your body is telling you rather than what people are telling you.
I got you. That's a very, very good advice. Like, I'm just mesmerized right now because in my head I'm just like, wow, I wish somebody told me this a while ago. I wish somebody told me this a while ago, I mean, no regrets, obviously, but like, I really, really, really like that. And I'm hoping somebody would actually appreciate that listening to it and just apply that in every aspect of your life, not just work, right? Personal. But that thing you said, girl, is actually true. Like, there are days where I wear a dress and I mean, I understand the whole thing about beauty is pain. I get it. But there are some times where it's like in your gut, like you could tell that this is not, you don't feel good. Or sometimes I look at myself, there were times where I look at myself in like a picture and I was just like, God, I was so unhappy in that picture, Oh, dang, I hated myself there. Like it's a reminder. But then you had to force yourself, maybe because it was a different situation or maybe it was for, I don't know, something that you just told yourself you did not really have a choice in. Do you understand? And I would not necessarily, I understand sacrifices, but when you have a choice to do something differently, right? It's always a good thing for you to feel good. I'm not saying be selfish, but I'm just saying like feel good. Let that be your general aura, But yeah, anyways, if we were to advise young Ella, what would your advice be to her? Maybe 10 years younger, Ella.
I'd say no one cares, so neither should you.
Oh!
Exactly. Like, care about what, demands your energy and attention necessity-wise and, like, is good to pay attention to you. But all that, like, you know, stupid intrusive thought stuff that's in your head, no one cares.
And you say that with confidence to her, because I'm not even sure she would have believed it at the time, you know. But you, as the older person, telling her, I promise you no one cares. Like, that would build her confidence with time, you know, which is very amazing. And then in the same breath, 5 years from you, Ella, where does she want to be? If you've thought about it, because most times we don't think that far. You're like, girl, I just want to get through the day, please. You know? But no, realistically speaking, if you were to think about where you'd like to see yourself in 5 years, what would that look like?
I'd say in a place that I feel like there's a true sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm very independent, mm-hmm. and I like my space, I like mm-hmm. to be alone mm-hmm. a lot of the time, but there is that little moment where I'm like, I don't know, like, you wish to be understood mm-hmm. in a deeper way mm-hmm. than most people understand you. Mm-hmm. And not only to be understood, but to be appreciated and, like, admired in the way that you appreciate and admire somebody else.
I got you. That's good. That's very, very good. Very, very introspective. You always carry me to places in my head where I'm just like, wow, this girl, where's this fountain of youth coming from? Like, what? All this well of wisdom. Come on now. I love it. But yeah, no.
Tell I journal.
yes, and that's an amazing thing, honestly. It's so therapeutic, don't you think so?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I mean this is my own way of journaling too, like, you know, this podcast is an outlet for me too, and that's why I called it the Favorjika podcast, because it's like everything about my life, you know, I mean, the ones that I'm comfortable enough to share, lifestyle, you know, career wise and everything in between, that aids self-development. So yeah, it's like my love gift to myself and the people around me that are just interested in being the better versions of themselves. So I am so glad that you honored me and honored, you know, our time and, you know, spending time with us today, sharing a part of you that I'm sure a lot of people would really, really appreciate, you know, after this episode airs. So thank you so much, Ella. And I, for those of you that are wondering why I keep calling her Ella, it's Gabriella, but, you know, it's just easier for us to call her Ella or, you know, at work. With her permission, by the way. Yes? Yes? Yes, please.
Yeah, I went through a phase of, like, maybe I don't want it anymore, but when you say it, I like it. Okay. You say, as long as, you know what, mm-hmm. I don't care what my name is, mm-hmm. as long as it's said with warmth.
Yes. And the thing is, the minute you feel like that is not, you know, it's not comfortable anymore, or you feel like you want us to call you your full name, please just say the word and I will readjust, I promise. Because I just want anything that's more comfortable, right? Especially when we get to that, you know, point in our relationship where we feel like we are free enough to, like you said, like, you are expressing yourself even via the person's name with, like, love. You could tell that the love is coming through the way you call their names. I feel like for me it's fine, whatever you're comfortable with, you know, is okay. But for now, we just keep calling you Ella on the team, and I love it. So please, I also like Gabriella too, funny enough, but mind, I'm just like, it sounds so official, you know.
It does. Yeah, I went by it for a while and yeah, then I kind of backtracked because I was like, okay, that's a lot. And when people say Gabriella, it kind of gives me the ick. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going back. Yeah. We're going back.
But yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. But anyways, thank you so much as usual. Do you want to give a shout out to this podcast as well? Actually, I'll just wait for, Aurelia, do you have anything you want to say about the podcast real quick before you could give you a shout out at the end? Up to you.
All right. If you know what's good for you, you better keep listening.
Come on.
That was a light threat to your audience. I hope they appreciated that.
For someone as sweet as Ella to threaten you people, you know that it's actually very serious. But anyways, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends. And last thing, Ella, I know I said last thing like 50 minutes ago, but you get the point. Where can we find you if you want to be found?
You can find me at Best Buy headquarters, baby.
Ooh, just okay.
I'm not there.
Okay.
My house.
She said, don't find me there, please. I'm at my house. No, I'm saying if you're on social media, like on LinkedIn, if you want people to add you or reach out to you, but if not, that's completely fine too, but.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you guys want to reach out to me, Gabriella Osuna-san on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and tuning in. Please do not forget to subscribe to this podcast, rate it at your earliest convenience. Leave a rating for me on all the platforms that you're listening to your podcast. So the Favor Ojika podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. And we'll be very, very happy to, like, you know, hear from you. What did you guys think about this episode? How do you build resilience? Just feel free to, like, leave us a voice note as well. We'll be, you know, looking through those, and we will appreciate your feedback. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us, and please do not forget to always, always let love lead, and I'll see you guys in my next episode. Bye. Bye.